If you would, this morning, open up to Genesis 21. We have a few verses to finish up there before we get into chapter 22. And pray for me, because hopefully we can get all the way through 22. We'll see what the Lord does here. but it says in verse 22 of chapter 21, it says, "And it came to pass at that time." So remember that Ishmael has been sent out with his mom Hagar, and that God appeared to them and said that he was going to take care of them. And he told Abraham he was going to take care of them, and he was going to take care of him. So it says, at that time it came to pass that Abimelech and Phicol, which is the chief captain of his host. Remember, Abimelech is just a title. So he was the ruler, Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that you do. Notice what it doesn't say, though. It doesn't say that we heard what you said. It says that we see that God is with you. The witness that's there, even though he didn't have to say a word. Remember, his witness wasn't good because he went in and lied. So the witness of his speaking wasn't good, but the witness of his doing was good. And for us, it should be an encouragement. It should be something that would challenge us that even in our doing, we don't sometimes have to say anything, but people watch what we're doing. And as they watch and they see that there's something different about us, that there's something different about the way that we live, something different about the way that we move and have our being, that they come out and look at Abraham and say, we know that there's something different about you, that your God is with you and working. And so they say that God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear unto me here by God, by your God, evidently, that you will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, you shall do unto me. In the land wherein you shall, wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. I will be gracious in that way. You've been good to me. I will be good to you. So he swears unto him. He gives him that vow that he's going to not come against him or his sons. And it says that then Abraham, in verse 25, reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So Abraham, as he dug wells, the servants of Abimelech came and violently took them away and took them for their own. And so Abraham had to go and dig more wells. But it says that Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet I heard of it, but today. Today's the first day that I've heard of this. I'll take care of it. And so Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. They made a covenant together. And Abram set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abram, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. So I've got this well right here. Abimelech, take note where it is. Please tell them to leave it alone, that it's my well, the well that I've digged. And wherefore he called that place Beersheba, which is well of the oath, because there they swore both of them. And thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abram planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abram sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. So we see this picture that Abraham comes through, and by his witness there comes a blessing. By his walking in truth there comes a blessing. Even though he failed, God still honored what he was doing, and others saw what he was doing. And you and I are going to fail in this life. We know that we're going to fail. And if you got up this morning and you haven't failed yet, God bless you. You should be up here teaching. Because we all fail constantly. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, brings forgiveness because of the cross of Christ. And we're going to see that here in chapter 22. But we trust him for him to work in and through us that witness that we need to have in this world. Lord, it's your way. It isn't because we're doing anything special. It's because God's doing something in our lives. He's changing us. He's conforming us to his image, like he tells us in Scripture. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that brings it to us. He's the one that brings us through it. He's the one that brings us out of it and brings us home to heaven. And what a glorious day that's going to be when he comes. And boy, can you wait for that? And I'm so glad this morning that they sang On a Hill Far Away, because we're going to see that hill far away this morning, that hill Moriah, the land that was there. So chapter 22, it says that after these things it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham, or brought to prove him. Sometimes the interpretation of those words is a little harsh, because we think of tempting is being awful. But he was just proving Abraham, proving his heart, showing him where he was with him, and said unto him, Abram, and he said, Behold, here I am. What a conversation they're having, God and Abraham. And that should be the same for you and I. As we speak to the Lord, we know that he hears, and we should be listening for him to speak to us. That's why you have two ears and one mouth, so that you listen more than you talk. Listen for the voice of God and then respond to him. Here I am. What do you want to do in my life? Here I am, available for you. Here I am, open and ready for you. Here I am, listening for you. Here I am in that place, wanting you to work in my life, Lord. Abraham, this sweet relationship that he has with his Lord. And it isn't something that's going to come quickly. It's going to be something that comes in over time. The more we respond to him, the more we listen to him, the more we're going to hear him, the more that we're going to be able then to answer him and say, Lord, here I am, and I'm ready for whatever you want to do. Oh, and wouldn't that be wonderful today if he spoke to us and said, this is what I have for you today. And he wants to, because he has something for us each and every day. And in this day that he's come to Abram, Abram says, here I am, I'm ready, what do you want? What do you have for me today? And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Notice what the Lord says, you only have one son. You only have one son of promise. His name is Isaac. Laughter. The joy that I've brought to you, I want you to give him back to me. And shouldn't we be doing that with our kids, with our relationships, with our spouses, with all that's within us, is to give them back to the Lord. Lord, they're yours. Whatever you want to do in their life, you do. I've given them to you. I want you to give them back to me. I don't want them to become an idol to you. I don't want them to become in a place that would take my place. I want you to give him back to me. So take now your son, your only son, Isaac, laughter, whom you love. First time love is mentioned here in Scripture. And isn't it sweet that it comes as a father to a son relationship? And right away we have to start thinking there's been another father-son relationship that goes on in Scripture that we see, God the Father and God the Son. And he's going to ask and he's going to challenge Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And didn't our father sacrifice his only son? So we see the types that are here. We see the typology that's here. And boy, it certainly comes to light. It comes so clear in our minds that we see what Abraham is doing is what God is going to do later on. What he asks of us is nothing that he wouldn't do himself. So if he asks you, he's going to give you the grace and the ability to do those things. And he's also going to say, I've already been able to do this. The Lord tells us in Scripture that every temptation he's gone through, he's faced. There's nothing that he's going to bring to us that he hasn't already faced without sin, so that we could enter in and come to that place of walking without sin. And I'm so thankful. He's not a father like many of our fathers. Do as I say, not as I do. We've all seen those fathers. We've all seen those teachers. We've all seen those groups of people who say, do what I say, but don't do what I do. And isn't it strange that the world is like that? I want you to behave not like me, but like you're supposed to. Really? Why would I behave like something that you're not? But we have a God who does it. And so we can enter in that fullness of joy, just entering into what he's already done for us. And that is just so wonderful. It makes us want to enter into that relationship instead of wanting to rebel against it. And so he says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. We're going to see this Moriah again as we go through Scripture. We're going to see it with David. As he comes, remember when he comes to the threshing floor of Onan, and he comes and he offers an offering there. This is the same location that Abraham is in right now. When Solomon builds the temple, we're going to see that that's the same location that Moriah is. We're going to see that same Moriah, the place where Jesus died and was crucified. Moriah is a very important place in Scripture, and it's important for you and I because we see it all the way through in different ways, but with the same result. A son was going to be crucified. There was going to be worship. There was going to be thanksgiving. There was going to be offering. And in all those places and in all those things, we have that same picture that goes on all the way through. And he says, get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Offer him completely to me. Completely. Not just a little bit. Not just here and there. But I want you to give him to me completely. Whoa. And we think, Lord, that's kind of a heavy sacrifice. But hasn't the Lord already challenged Abraham so much? He's challenged him to give up his homeland, and he did. He gave it up willingly and became a sojourner for the rest of his life. And how many times has he challenged us in that same thing? What are you hanging on to instead of giving it to me and committing it to me and let me lead you through? Is it your homeland? Is it your country? Is it the home that you live in? He also challenged him in other ways. He challenged him with his nephew Lot. He said, I want you to separate yourself from Lot. That was a challenge. That was a surrender. That was a sacrifice for him. He loved his nephew. So he's given up his homeland. He's given up his nephew. He's given up one of his children, Ishmael. And now he's challenging him to give up his only son, Isaac. And we go, Lord, that's kind of awful. But it isn't awful, because we know that as we give those things back to the Lord as he gives to us, that there's a blessing in that. Because we don't hold on to something that we can't control, that we don't hold on to something that we haven't gotten of ourselves. We give him everything because he's the one that's worthy. He paid the price for us that we couldn't pay, and we owe him everything. And so he challenges us. Will you give me every part of your heart? Not just little bits of your heart, but will you give me all of your heart? Where you live, your kids. And we're going to see that in the next chapter, he's going to have another challenge because his wife is going to die. The challenges continue on, don't they? They don't go away just because we become born-again Christians. The challenges are always there. Will you give up those things? And if you stop and think about it, the world is challenged by all those things too. It's just that they have no place to take them. They have no place to go with them. They see death happen, and they don't know what to do with it. They see loss of kids, and they don't know what to do with it. They see loss of homes, and they don't know what to do with it. We have a place to go. We go to Daddy's lap, and we just ask for comfort. Lord, I need your help. And isn't that a wonderful place to go? Aren't you glad you don't have to face it alone? And even though there's people around us, sometimes we feel alone, don't we? But you're never alone. If you're saved, if you're born again, you're never alone. You always have the presence of Jesus with you. He'll take care of you. You leave yourself alone and let it be your focus be on others because God is taking care of you. And when you can do that, when you can finally come to that place of not looking out for yourself, then you've come to a wonderful place in your walk with the Lord that's just going to bring blessing to you and peace and comfort because you're not worrying about yourself anymore. Because we do. We spend a lot of time worrying about ourselves. And the more I see you guys, the more I worry about you. But we're able to sacrifice ourselves to him and let him take care of us. God, thank you. And even if you don't do it, who's still taking care of you? The Lord. So we might as well give it to him. Because he's still going to take care of us. Because we can't do it. We can't hold on to ourselves. We can't keep ourselves at 20 years old forever. The world wants to. They want to still look 20 years old. I hate to tell some of them, but they don't look 20 anymore. Mick Jagger is not 20 anymore. Saw a picture of him the other day. He doesn't look 20. He looks like about 190. That poor guy. And he's still trying. But it's not going to be forever. There's going to come a day when we all face that judgment. And thank goodness that Jesus took our judgment for us. But those that are without Jesus have to face him without an advocate. Oof. Thank you, Lord, that you took my place and that you're going to stand before me, before your Father, and invite me in and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, thank you, Lord. So Abram rose up early in verse 3. Isn't it amazing? He tells him to go sacrifice his son tomorrow. Okay, I wouldn't get up till noon. I'd have a long breakfast. He gets up early and starts on the trek right away in obedience to the Lord. He knows what the Lord is asking of him, and he does it early. Oh, what a challenge to our hearts. He rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Amazing. He rises up early, he goes. And again, the pictures, if you look at it and if you realize what it is, we see a picture of what's to come. He puts the wood on Isaac. And didn't the world, by the order of the Lord, put the crossbeam on Jesus' shoulder? We see him carrying the wood just as Isaac is carrying the wood. You can't ignore the picture that's there. You can't dismiss what the Lord is trying to speak to us, that someday my son is going to do the very same thing. And there's two young men there. There's the father, the son, and there's two young men. And he's going to leave them afar off. He's going to leave them a little ways away. But isn't it interesting that there was also two young men that Jesus was with at his death, one on the right, one on the left side. And when God and Jesus were speaking, they were kind of left out of it. They didn't know what was going on. The conversation was not between him and them after a moment. It was between the Father and the Son, just as it is here, that he leaves them, and it's just the Father and the Son speaking. Oh, and you realize, God, you are amazing. Nobody can think that all these books are written by different men, by different people, because they couldn't tie it together the way the Lord does. Right. Every word of God is given by inspiration, and it's good for us. So he says, I want you to take two of your young men and Isaac, your son. He clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went to the place which God had told him. So Isaac is carrying the wood that's going to be used, and he's going to become the burnt offering, just as Jesus was. He became completely given over to the will of his Father to die for the sin of the world. And they went to the place which God had told him, just as Jesus did. Then on the third day, and you know what happens on the third day, 3 days in the tomb, and out we come. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And this is the first time worshiped is used in Scripture. So what's he saying? And please do something with that word. Underline it, highlight it, do something with it. But they go, and he's going to kill his son, but it's going to be an act of worship. It's going to be an act of worship for Jesus to die for the sin of the world. Worship to the Father's will. Worship to the Father's ways. And he's going to give himself completely for it and as an act of worship. And we go, Lord, I don't know if you ask me to commit my kids back to your hand, and to take my hands off of me directing my kids' lives, if I can do it in worship. But when we can do it in worship, there's such an elevation in our spirit that goes on. There's such a way that happens in our lives that we're almost raised up to the mountaintops, because worship is between us and Him, and He's made us to worship in everything that goes on. I was listening to one of the pastors teach the other day, and he was saying that one morning he has early morning devotions every morning. I think it's around 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And people come, they worship, they pray, and then they take communion. And as he was looking around, and as you can imagine, there's not a whole lot of folks up at 6 o'clock coming to church, so there wasn't many there. But as he was there, he noticed one man that was there, and he said he looked and he saw this man just, the tears were just streaming, and he was just bawling. And he came up to get communion, and he just raised the cup and raised the bread to the Lord as he got it and just took communion and went home. And he said later on he found out that the man has just lost his wife hours before. During the night, she had passed. And he came to worship the Lord for what He had given him. When you can get to a place that God is everything, it brings you through the day a lot better than just coming into a place of just being completely in despair and discouragement. When we can offer those things to the Lord and do it in worship, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be pain. This man was in much pain, but he was also had much joy, because the Lord was in charge and he knew it. He's challenging Abraham these four different times to offer these things back to him, and he does. And the worship then is so sweet. It's beyond anything that we have now. We worship once in a while. A lot of times we're just sitting here and we're singing songs, aren't we? But when it becomes worship, those words go so deep, and they mean so much more than just words on a page that you just kind of mumble through. Then it becomes worship, and you just raise your hands, and it doesn't matter what anybody else around you is doing. What matters is my heart and the Lord's are one right now, and these words are so meaningful to me. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It wasn't an easy cross. It was a rough cross. It hurt. It caused pain. But He went there to die for you and I. And as we enter into that place of worship, it just brings us more and more into a place of communion with our Father that means so much more. Verse 5 there, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're going to come again. Wait a second. Did you catch that? I want you to kill your son. And as he tells the two servants that are with him, he says, I and the lad are going to go, and we're coming back. What do you mean we are coming back? He knows that if he commits something to the Lord, that the Lord is going to bless him in the midst of it and take care of his son. If he said, I'm going to bless you, and every nation in the world is going to be a blessing for you, and your offspring are going to be as the stars of heaven, then, Lord, you've got to do something. If you're going to take him, you're going to replace him. You're going to bring him back. Yeah, he's going to bring him back, just like Jesus is going to come back one day. Praise the Lord that we have an example right here in Genesis, all the way through to Revelation, as we see the picture come to pass. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, just like the father did to Jesus. And he took the fire in a hand and a knife, and they both went both of them together. They went together in it. It doesn't say that Jesus rebelled against his father, but he was in agreement. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, it tells us in Amos. And you can't walk together unless you're in agreement together. You can't go the same direction with the same heart, with the same mindset, unless you're doing it together. And the Lord wants to walk with you and I, but how can we walk with Him if we're in disagreement with Him? You know how it is, married people, when your spouses and you are not getting along. You are not walking together. One of you's in the living room, the other one's in a chair in the bedroom. You're doing stuff outside, she's inside. You're not walking together. But he said they walked together. And you can only do that in agreement. And the agreement they had was, Dad, I will do this for you. It tells us in Revelation 13 that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus already knew this was coming. And he agreed to it before the world was even made, knowing that one day it was going to come, that he was going to die for the sin of the world. Oh, Isaac goes up and they went together. They walked together. Isaac knew it was going to be a sacrifice. And Isaac is not a young baby anymore. From the wording and from the language that we get, he was probably in his teens or early 20s. He was strong enough to probably overcome Abraham. Because remember, Abraham was 100 years old when he had him. If you're 100, you're not wrestling a 20-year-old anymore. It just doesn't work that way. But he did it willingly. And we know another one that did it willingly. And his name was Jesus. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father, after he lays the wood on him, he's got a knife out. He's got the fire out. And Isaac is looking at him, Hey, Dad, what you doing? Really? Isaac speaks to Abraham, his father, and says, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. The sweetness of this relationship, you can't miss it. It's intimate. It's close, it's fellowship, it's worship, it's submission, it's all of those things that we want in our hearts that God wants for us, because in those places is the place of blessing. He said, Here I am, my son. As soon as he cried out, Abraham answers. As soon as we cry out, God hears and he answers. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What does it tell us in John chapter 1? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. As John the Baptist looked out and saw him coming, the Lamb of God. And we think, why a lamb? We see it all the way through Scripture that the Lamb was offered. And he is the Lamb that took away our sin. Where's the Lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, still calling him his child, still in that intimate relationship with him, it says that God will provide himself a lamb. He's going to provide himself to be the lamb that was going to be slain. As he tells him way back in Genesis here, that God was going to become that sacrifice for you and I. Oh. And yet people want to say that these scriptures were written by man. These scriptures aren't real. They aren't true. You can't believe them. Oh my goodness. You start putting these things together and there's no way that you can't see God in the midst and know that he's real. God will provide himself to be the lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. There it is again. Both of them together. And they came to the place which God told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Notice he does it twice to get his attention quickly. And we think, Lord, are you going to wait till the last second to help me out? And he goes, maybe. I'll wait till the knife is on the downward plunge, and then I'll take care of you. Really, Lord? Couldn't you done it like days ago so we didn't even have to go on this journey? And he says, yeah, I could have, but then you wouldn't have known the depths that I want to take you to show you my blessing in the midst. If he did everything for him without taking him through to the depths of it, Abram would have never known the love that God had for him. He knew he loved Isaac, and he took care of him all the way through. He loves you. And he knows how to take care of you all the way through. In the midst of your hurts of today, the hurts that you have, the pain in your heart that you're just experiencing, that you're just crying out for, God knows how to deliver you in the midst of it. But if you never go to that place, you'll never know the love that he has for you to bring you through it and to bring you out of it and to bless you in the midst. Let him take you. He won't hurt you. He'll love you in the midst. But you can't see the love till you see what you're facing. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I'm sure he's probably really glad for an interruption. Like when your cell phone rings and you go, oh, good, I got a way out now. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I know how much you have in your heart towards me. And it wasn't that God didn't know how much was in his heart. It was that Abraham didn't know the depths of that relationship that he had with his Lord. If God knows the thoughts before we even think them, he knows the thoughts that are in Abraham's heart. But Abraham needed to know so that he could walk on. He was preparing him for days that were to come yet. Oh, and to give us an example for it, it tells us this in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Verse 31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you're crying out today and hurt and saying, God, I don't know if you're for me, he's for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Notice all, not just part of us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All the things that you need to get through the time that you're in, the hurt that you're in, the pain that you're in, the frustration that you're in, won't he give you freely of what you need for that? He's not going to charge you for it. He's not going to say, I've got an answer for your dilemma, but you got to pay me. That's not the way Dad is. Dad gives us freely all these things. Ugh. So Abraham lifted up his eyes. And isn't that what we have to do at times? Sometimes our eyes are so focused down below on the things that are going on and in before us that we can't see what God is doing up above. He lifted up his eyes. His eyes were lifted up. And what does it say in Scripture? That he's going to be the one that's going to be the lifter of our head. And if your head needs lifting today, just cry out to Jesus and let him lift your head up, and you'll see the blessing that God has for you. As he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. Really? He wasn't there just a minute ago. God is able to bring to you when you least expect it or least understand it. If you lift up your eyes, you'll see the answer that God has for you right in front of you. Lord, where was it all this other time? It wasn't until you lifted up your head to look to me that you could see the answer that I have for you. Oh, don't be so distraught that you can't lift up your eyes and cry out to Jesus and let him answer you. There was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. There's a substitution process that's going on. Just like for you and I, there was a substitution that took place. Instead of us being on the cross, which we deserved, Jesus took our place. He became our substitution. He's the one that put himself in that place for you and I. And I think the challenge for us is that if Jesus would take our place, don't you think he loves you enough to bring you through the problems that you're facing right now? The frustration, the hurt, the pain, the discouragement. If he put himself in our place, can't he bring us through the times that we're in right now? And that's why we trust him. God, you're faithful. As God substituted for his son, he substitutes Jesus for you and I. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Or God will see, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. God will see. And the angel of the Lord called to Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And the seed, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. we look at the world and we see how awful it is. But you know what? Because of Abraham's willingness, because of his love, because of the righteousness that he had and he poured out to us, and we're now the children of Abraham, the world has been blessed because we're here. Can you imagine what it would look like if Christianity was not here? It would look like what it does in Revelation. Awful. We think it's bad now. This is nothing compared to what's to come. Be thankful that you're living in a time where you know Jesus and you know his sacrifice has been made for you, and that you know you're in a place of blessing because God has blessed you and God walks with you, and wherever he walks is blessing. Even though it looks horrible around you, there's blessing in the midst. Don't look at the awfulness. Look at the blessing. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. When we were talking with Don yesterday, just, Don, you have no hope outside of the surgeons doing a good job. And maybe that brain tumor will come out. But what's going to happen 20 years down the road? Even if you come out and you come out well, in another 20 years, you're still going to die. What are you going to do with that? What's beyond that? And for you and I, we know what's beyond it because God has told us, and we're saved, and that's where we're going. Don't look at this world as the final place for you, because if you're saved, you're born again, this is the worst that it's going to get. For the world, this is the best it's going to get. Oh, isn't that an awful picture, that this is going to be the very best that they're ever going to see? No wonder they're hurting and struggling, because they have no hope. You have a blessed hope. And that's what Scripture calls Jesus, a blessed hope. We have a blessed hope. We're going home to Jesus. Yeah. Let's go now. We could skip the fourth. I don't need to see fireworks anymore. I could see better ones in heaven. So Abraham returned unto his young men. Amazing. Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. There's something missing here. Isaac, where is he? He's coming later. Gee, I wonder if that's in Scripture anywhere. Like Jesus is going to come back? Abraham comes back to the young men. Isaac is going to come later. Oh, and it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she has also borne children of thy brother Nahor. Huz is firstborn and Buz is brother. How is that for names? Huz and Buz. I love these names. If I can pronounce them, they're great. And Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. That's going to be important later on. Hold on to her name. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abram's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Reuma. And she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. But look at the offerings that had to be made in the midst. He comes back and he sees children born, the world going on just as it was before, things happening. But there was a difference in Abram's heart because he saw God work in a way that he never saw him work before. Can you hold on to that? Can it keep you? Can it sustain you in the midst that God... The world is still the same. They're having babies. They're giving in marriage. They're doing all these things. But Lord, is my life different because I saw you in a way that I've never seen you before? God, I've met with you because your word was open to my heart. You told me you were going to take care of me. You told me that I was born again and that I was going to see heaven. Is that making a difference in your life today so that you can get through what you're facing? Abraham had to go through hard, hard times. Hard times just like you and I do. But he's now walking in a place where he knows his God can work. And he knows that there's salvation. And there's going to be harder things coming. We see it. He's going to lose his wife. We see things that are coming and the world is losing. We see the riots in France. We see Israel being blown off by America. And by other countries, and other countries now coming and saying awful things about them. The Ukraine the other day Mr. Zelensky is not all that he's cracked up to be. He came against Israel and said that he was against them because they were more pro-Russian than pro-Ukrainian. Our own president has blown him off. Doesn't want anything to do with him. Doesn't even call him or talk to him. Almost given Iran the money that they need to finish getting their nuclear weapons ready. And the first thing they say they're going to do is attack Israel. And our president gave them the go-ahead, basically. And almost took away the preemptive strike that Israel was going to take against Iran so that they couldn't have nuclear weapons. We see all the things in Scripture coming together, but we see a God who's in charge of it. And a God who loves you and me. And we think, Lord, this world is so awful. But you know what? One day it's going to get so awful that he's going to come and take us home. And praise the Lord for it. We have a hope that goes beyond this world. We have a hope that goes beyond anything that we have. We can't do anything about it, but we know the God that can. Trust him. Abraham trusted the Lord with his home, with his sons, with his wife. Can you trust him to bring you through today? Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion. We've seen all the examples here in this chapter that are just so wonderful, that of your son coming to take our sin upon the cross. Isaac bearing the wood, just as Jesus would bear the wood. The Father putting it on his shoulders, putting it on him. And Lord, we see the same thing going on with Jesus and his Father. The conversations that were there. We're just so thankful, Lord, for how you've shown us all these things that we might trust you even more today than we did yesterday. And Father, this chapter certainly is a great encouragement for us to stand in the truth, to stand with our God, and to let you do that work in our lives that you want to do. And if you're challenging us today, Lord, to let go of something, Father, help us to do that. We know that you're better at taking care of things than we are. So help us to trust you with those things, Lord. Father, whatever your will is, may we want your will done and not our own will, Father. Speak to us, Lord, as we sit. Speak to us, Lord, as we hear, that you would be glorified in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.